appropriate that we observe a moment of silence to reflect upon our responsibility for our students, employees, and our taxpayers, and also to reflect on our gratitude to Dr. Geiger and the other retirees for their service to our district. I will then be followed by the pledge to the flag. Please rise.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at the attendance this evening, all of our board members except for Mr. Pantano are present this evening. So thank you for your attendance. And now it's time for us to approve the board agenda for the evening.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as it is.
I'll second that.
It's been a motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the agenda? All in favor of approving the agenda as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. The agenda is approved. And now is the first of two opportunities for public comment. If anyone from the public would like to make a comment, please come forward and state your name and address and make your comment. Oh, no.
Thank you very much for having me. If I could please make some public comment. I am Erin. I'm one of the scouts, and I'm from Dallas Township 45. And I was under the understanding, Dr. Dyer, you have 45 years in education.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes.
I was hoping maybe that you could mentor me and share with me all of your knowledge about board operations. And of course, I'm going to need plenty of that in my new role. So I came here for your guidance this evening.
Indeed. Back when I was a boy in pre-colonial days. I got to go to that school that came after that, that taught what they wanted taught, and that inspired me to be a superintendent, and here I am.
Wonderful. I hope that I learned wonderful things from you, so thank you for your service and all of your years.
We had to have a scowl.
And this is truly from the team.
That team or this team?
No, I
think
that.
Thank you.
So now we move on. We have two special presentations. We will be honoring Dr. Dyer later in the meeting, but I think we have another retiree here this evening, Mr. Fisher, and let's appropriately recognize her.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Okay. And generally, our retirements take place at the end of the school year. However, from time to time, we do have some mid-year retirements. And this year, we do have two. I'd like to ask Dr. Puncher to come down and recognize our first retiree.
Good evening. Excited tonight to recognize Jane Wymo. Jane, you join me down here. Jane is very excited that she's the only retiree on the list. She's lost being center. It's my honor to recognize Jane. Jane started at Dallas Town. Interesting story. District office at the time called her business teacher. She's a Dallas Town alum, and said, "Send up two of your best business students. We have an opening in the district office that we'd like to interview for." So that's how her pathway started. And she was hired at the age of 17 to be the assistant superintendent secretary. She does have her first paycheck from there. I told her the board would probably love to see that. But she didn't bring it tonight, so show of hands how many people would like to see that. Go, $67,000. I'm mad at me for making her do that, but I think it speaks to the longevity of her career. She's.
I was all 14 years, though. I took 14 years.
She is a consummate professional. She's put up with a lot of different administrators over the years. Extremely instrumental in our shift to trimesters. I was assistant principal in charge of scheduling at the time, and so we worked hand in hand. When I had a horrible day, she encouraged me, and vice versa. Luckily, we didn't have a bad day the same day. She will be very missed. I know she's looking forward to some Harley Davidson rides and just enjoying retirement. So congratulations.
There's a certificate that I'll read the text of on behalf of the board. Whereas Jane Limehauer exemplifies the finest qualities of a secretary through her ceaseless devotion to the students of the Dallastown Area School District. And whereas she has provided the district with loyal service characterized by an unwavering commitment to excellence that enthusiastically reflected the goal of providing the very best for students of the school district. Therefore, now it be resolved that the Dallastown Area School Board of Directors extends a warm thank you to you, Jane Limehauer, for her 32 years of steadfast service to education and proffers on behalf of the administrators, teachers, students, and the community the most sincere gratitude and best wishes for a bountiful retirement.
Thank you.
This evening. Sam Ferosa was unable to join us this evening. Sam is a maintenance mechanic in our buildings and grounds department, and he's been with the district for over 18 years. So we wish both Jane and Sam the best in their retirement, and thank them for the many years of dedicated service.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations. And we our second special presentation this evening is a K-3 elementary presentation on Mr. Bouchelon.
Well, I know Dave's not going to leave us to get that back, so we're going to wait a second. Thank you very much for being here tonight. I have with me Ms. Brittany Brown. You can see that. Who is a third grade teacher at York Township. We're going to talk a few minutes tonight just about, you know, as you see there, creating classrooms that are ready for our students. What we are really focused on is, we talk a lot here at the board meetings and committee meetings and things like that about how these students, you know, the challenges our students face today are similar in some ways to what they always have and new in many other ways. We talk about social emotional learning, we talk about, you know, massive hierarchy, we need to talk about just all these different ways that we are trying to address, you know, everything that is not strictly, you know, here's information, learn it. And so one of the things we want to highlight for you tonight is actually what's going on in our classrooms and how many of our classrooms look very different than what they looked like even just a couple of years ago. So what we really want to focus on is that our students are not always, you know, we used to have this mindset that our students need to be ready to come to school. When you were, you know, had to be kindergarten ready to come to kindergarten, had to be first grade ready to go to first grade. The reality is students are showing up at our doors now and we need to be ready for them, not the other way. There's a great video that we have here before you start to kind of set that tone from student perspective.
Dear teacher, I know it doesn't always seem like it, but I really do want to listen and learn. Just my brain is kind of different. So this is what I'd like you to know about me.
I have to move, or I really can't pay attention.
Even though I'm not looking at you, I can still listen to what you're saying.
If you tell me, sit up straight, now I have to use all of my brain to do just that.
It makes me feel sad when you tell me to try harder
even though I've already tried as hard as I can. I actually listen better when I walk in my chair. When you give me a bunch of directions, I start to think I will never remember all this. Sometimes my mom or dad ends up doing all of my homework. So here's how you can maybe help. Let me get up and move while I'm moving.
Let me look wherever I want when you talk to me.
Let me rock or slouch in my chair.
No matter what, please don't take away my recess. Give me home, I can take all by myself. Injection, very sure.
Just ask me, what does your brain need right now?
And one more thing. My brain might be different than yours, but it's still amazing. Sincerely, your student.
Your student.
Your student. Your student.
So, this is obviously the national campaign. If you like the link to the video, I'll probably share that with you guys. But that mindset behind, you know, those students communicating their needs. If you have kids at home, if you've ever seen kids, if you've gone to the grocery store, seen, you know, parents trying to get to the store with their kids, kids like to move. We like to move as adults. You know, no one really enjoys a job where you're sitting down, you can't move from your desk for 8-10 hours a day. And so our classrooms should reflect that. And so what we have before you is actually some examples that are pulled right out of our classrooms. If you'd like to try them tonight, you're welcome to. We have some wiggle chairs, we have some ball seats. So don't be afraid. There's a little bet going on. We're definitely going to try one out, so we'll see how that works. But if you'd like to try, the examples are here. Mr. Brown's going to talk about it in just a moment. But we wanted to take an approach of looking at the classroom is how do we meet that need? How do we meet the students moving, the students wanting to be comfortable in the classroom environment? What do we do with that? And so we have the next video we have for you is build a little bit of research about. It's not about the physical seats that we give them or how, you know, the actual items in the room. It's about the atmosphere that we create.
Can flexible classrooms actually boost student achievement? Will this comfortable chair and this emoji pillow improve academic performance? Well, no. It's not the furniture. But a study out of England looked at 27 schools, 153 classrooms, and 3,766 students across the country, and concluded that flexible, welcoming classrooms did raise test scores. In fact, classroom flexibility is about as important as air quality, light, or temperature in boosting academic outcomes. And taken together, flexibility and a student's sense of ownership account for over a quarter of the academic benefit attributed to classroom design. So, what's happening? It turns out that flexible classrooms change teaching and learning habits. They are versatile, so they support a broader range of educational strategies. And they're modifiable too, so they can quickly be adapted to meet individual and group needs. That makes a big difference, because the research showed that using a mix of strategies to teach a lesson, direct instruction, group work, independent inquiry, drives deeper learning among students. So changing the furniture in your classroom will almost certainly have no impact at all, if you don't change your teaching too. To learn more about the research on classroom design and flexible spaces, look for the link displayed in this post, or search for the phrase flexible classroom research on edutopia.org.
So that last line there is really what, you know, we want to take to heart. We can put all the cool stuff in the classroom that we want to, but if we don't have teachers who are willing to actually make it work for the students and respond to the student needs, it's just stuff. So the last little bit of our presentation here is we're going to introduce Mrs. Brown. Then we have three teachers right now who are really focused on this concept of trying out their classroom. We have Mrs. Brown in third grade. She is actually team teaches with Mrs. Vogelsong in third grade. And then one of our teachers, Mrs. Guyman, you may remember her from some of our virtual reality stuff we did last year. She is actually working with this in a learning support classroom. So having a lot of this stuff is actually Mrs. Vogelsong. I have a video of Mrs. Guyman sharing. She wasn't able to be here tonight. But then Mrs. Brown's going to talk about what does this actually look like in the workspace of the classroom.
All right, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to share what's happening in the classroom. I am Brittany Brown. I teach third grade in North Township. I've been there for 11 years now, so I've had the opportunity to really learn about the third grade learner. And about 2 years ago, I started exploring the flexible seating route and just kind of looking at, as somebody who personally doesn't like to sit still for very long, what are the other options for my students? And so last year, I really introduced it with just two different tables in my classroom. I had three groups of desks, and then I had a circle table where students could stand or sit. And then I had a long, skinny table in the back where they sat on stools. And I was amazed within the first 3 or 4 months at some of the unique challenges that it presented, but also a lot of opportunities for growth, both for myself and for my students. And one of the reasons that this year, I moved to a new classroom this year, so I had the opportunity to sort of wipe the slate clean and go at everything in a new direction. And this year, I have no student desks in my classroom. Everything that I have is a table. I think some of you were viewing your township and popped in my room, and it probably looks a little weird when you first come into my classroom. There's me sitting on the carpet doing guided reading with a group. I have a futon in my classroom. I have a bunch of tables, and they all look different. Some move and are on wheels. That one does. The other ones are locked. And it just kind of depends on where the students are sitting for the week. So one of the reasons this year I've decided to go no student desks in my classroom is just the attitude that my students have towards the classroom environment as a workspace, the whole classroom environment, not just my desk. So now my desk is going to do my work, but now I'm over here and I can kind of do whatever. It really creates this expectation of this is our workspace, the whole classroom. So whether you're up on the carpet with me and we're sitting and we're talking about a book and we're engaging and writing a response, or you know, you're at the table there in the back and you're working on something, or you have to move the table. My students will ask a lot, hey, can we move this? We really need to do a poster right here, and this is the best place to do it. And kids, it's very commonplace, oh yeah, sure, let me just move my table for you. And now they have a workspace in order to engage in their learning. And as an ELA teacher, this is really beneficial to me because they do lots of book projects, we do lots of literature discussions. So it really allows the students to engage in those at places other than just with the teacher around a table or just at their desk. You can see that the kids on the futon there are engaging in some independent work activities, and the ones in the back are also doing that as well. I meet with reading and writing groups because I just think that small group learning is the best for my students, and it really allows me as a teacher to know all their individual needs. I know exactly where you are in your writing, I know exactly how many periods you missed and what paragraph you're on. And in reading group, it's great because you can see one student's laying, the other two are sitting, one's crisscross applesauce, one has her feet up, I'm sitting with my feet up. I personally, as a teacher, feel more comfortable, and I feel that it really engages that student learning, and it creates that lifelong learner. Like, this isn't just about sitting at a desk in my room, and for those 20 minutes, I have to be a learner. Like, I'm going over to the carpet right now, but I'm reading. This is my reading space. So if you're sitting next to me and I'm laying down, I'm going to respect you because I know you're probably working on something important. And so the expectation piece, which you'll hear from Mrs. Diamond in her video, is key. You look at really weird seats like this and you think, an 8-year-old? Really? And I don't have super weird seats in my room. I have stools. But I also have these little cushions with little spikes in them. I have a trapezoid table that is lowered to the ground, and students can either sit on the floor or they can sit on those cushions. Again, they can stand when they're doing their work. Or really, it's what engages you best. And there's expectations, a lot of expectations. I've had some of your kids, so you know that I have very high expectations. And so they know that, and they engage with those things appropriately because they know that it is a privilege and it's part of, it's a tool, it's not a toy. And teaching those expectations allows them to really engage and enjoy their learning environment. So any questions that you have for me, I'd be happy to answer, or if you ever want to come in and check it out, the kids always love visitors that come in and engage in their learning as well.
Do you have any issues with parent acceptance of your concept?
That is a great question. So last year, actually, there was one parent who was not crazy about having the ability to move during my independent center time. And one of the things that I worked out with that parent was just talking to them about their child and their child's needs and talking to them about, hey, have you asked your child what they prefer? And again, not giving, I have a 4-year-old who loves to make all the decisions. So it's not like we just let the kids do whatever they want. But again, like the video said, what does my brain need? They're able at 8 or 9 years old to verbalize, like, hey, I actually do work better like that. And here's some documented evidence of that. Look at a project that was done. Look at this that was taken. And I do set up, you know, test environment. So when we're doing a spelling test or when we're doing something else, it is typically at a table that they're taking it with a privacy shield. It's not like they lay on the carpet for that kind of work. But I really want them to see it as a opportunity for them to engage in their learning regardless of where they are, versus like the old school mindset where I think if they're at a desk, like, now I'm doing my work, but the minute I leave I can kind of disconnect from it. It's just sort of like, this is who we are. This is our classroom. We're learning all the time. So that's sort of how I've approached it. And most parents are pretty open to it. Obviously, we created some last year. I know the one student, they really wanted her to independently read at her table. And I said, that's fine. We can talk to her about that. And she was okay with it. But she probably would have liked to lay on the carpet. But I do, as a mom, understand the parent perspective.
The fun night is back to school night when they come in and have to sit down somewhere and there's no chairs.
It's like they kind of like poke stuff and they're like, okay, so.
The last ticket, the next, we just have a couple short more pieces for you. We want to let you hear from Mrs. Kynan. She has kind of her perspective. She's a learning support teacher. She works with students from a variety of classrooms for our special education department. But really, she takes a very different approach in terms of the seating piece. So, you know, Mrs. Brown is really focused on the environment, the tables, and the workspace. Mrs. Diamond does a lot with the seating.
Hi, my name is Mark Gunn, and I teach learning support here at York Township. I started to become interested in flexible seating about 2 or 3 years ago. I noticed, true, that my students were having a difficult time sitting in the chairs and the tables that we have in our classroom. And I started to see alternative ideas, you know, on social media through Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook. It was intriguing for me. So about 2 or 3 years ago, I started incorporating some, and it's gradually grown over the years. I was curious to see if changing something as simple as seating would make a difference in my students' progress and in their achievement. And I can say over the past 2 or 3 years, I have definitely seen it change for the positive. We spent a lot of time at the beginning of the year talking about the different seating options that we have, and I had 2 expectations when it comes to our seating. They have to stay safe, and they have to be able to stay focused. And truly, just having those 2 simple rules has made all the difference. When my students are working on independent tasks in the past, that was always a difficult expectation for them. They often needed a lot of help, and it was very difficult for them to focus over long periods of time. With flexible seating, I have seen that they are able to increase their focus on independent tasks. Having the ability to change where they're sitting halfway through or whenever they need a change has made a very big difference. And again, those expectations come into play. They don't get distracted by changing their seat or choosing a different option. They know that the expectation is they're going to sit where they can be successful. So if for a while they're sitting on one of my stools, then after a while, if they need to change, they know they need to make that change quickly so that they can stay focused on their task. We also need to make sure they're being safe using the seating so that they don't hurt themselves or hurt someone else. As a result, too, I've also seen an increase in their ownership of the flexible seating. They're very protective of their flexible seating. They know what the expectations are, and they know that they can use that if they're not using them appropriately. So if they see another student not using it the way they need to, they are definitely helpful in terms of reminding them what the expectations are. I've also seen an increase in having that student choice, just knowing that they can switch their seat if they need to, has made a really big difference in what my students are able to do on their own, as well as in our groups. It's given them an awareness, too, of what works for them and what doesn't. We spend a lot of time talking at the beginning of the year about the kind of seats where they will be successful and when they won't. And I use myself as an example. I say, you know, this is kind of going to be very successful if I sat in these type of chairs, but if I sat in those, I'm going to get as much work done as I needed to. So having that opportunity at the beginning of the year to practice our expectations of being safe and staying focused, as well as just being able to try out the different seating, has definitely helped them to be more successful and even just more aware of their own strengths and their own needs. What do I need to be successful? So over the past 2 or 3 years, I can say that flexible seating has truly made a very big difference in my students' stamina, their ability to complete independent tasks, and as well as their ownership in the classroom and the feeling of choice that they have in what they need to be successful. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about flexible seating.
To close, what's most important to us is our student perspective. It's great if we think it's neat and the research at the school and that it's, you know, we think it's engaging for kids. What will really tell the story is the students themselves. We just have a couple more pictures. That's Mrs. Gunning's classroom. to the egg chair. I would not recommend sitting in the egg chair. I tried it the day and I got stuck. We have two student interviews. Both are less, they're be piecing together just to kind of keep them focused. They're both less than 45 seconds. The first one is a close friend of Mr. Smith and I. This was a student who the traditional classroom will say definitely did not work for traditional seating. That's why Mr. Smith and I know him very well for his time in K2. In third grade, we have to go find him because we don't get opportunities to see him if you're following along, for what that may mean. And so hearing him want to talk about this and how just the choice and ownership over how he just experiences the classroom environment has been a major shift for this student, and it's really exciting to hear.
I like it because it has all these different seatings and it has maker space.
Tell me about that. What does that mean?
It's like where we have like days where we get to go and go and play and draw, and like go. I have a little chair and it's better for me just to sit and pay attention. Balance seats. And she has ball chairs.
Don't you fall off the ball chairs all the time? No.
Sometimes people
will. Does it cause a huge distraction or is it not a big deal?
It's not.
Why not?
It's because if they fall off, they just get up and move.
Brutal honesty. I love it. This student was one, if you notice, he was not happy with me because I had him sit in a regular chair for the interview. Because we tried a ball chair, you want to move too much and people won't get. But you know, just his perspective on that. That was one of the biggest criticisms was, oh, well, if you put something in the classroom, the kids are just going to bounce around all the time, they're never going to pay attention. So then, I was like, oh, great, you get back on. Like, why would I not just get back on? The last video that we have one more picture. That's an example of what, so that's on the top left, that's Mrs. Vogelsong's classroom. On the top left there, you'll see some of these chairs and stools, and she's got some desks and some tables. Her guided reading group is on the bottom right. Actually, that's the math group she's working right now. The little pop-up chair is there. That's kind of down here. We also have, you know, beach chairs. We have, you know, soft beanbag chairs. Anything that you might want to sit in or lay in at any point in life, we probably have one in the classroom somewhere the kids are using. The last video is this young lady. She's so energetic. She's having so much fun this year. She describes school as fun because of how her classroom is set up there. And then we'll close with that and answer any questions.
So we have a lot of different options to sit on instead of just beach chairs in schools. We have like ball chairs and like actual ball seats and bubble chairs in the store and stuff.
Which one do you tell you better?
I really like the ball chairs.
Why?
Because I like that you can actually like wheel around on it and move. And you still have like a back. You can like still focus on it, and the good thing is if you like get too distracted with it, you can like lock the wheels.
Oh, care to lock the wheels?
I did once.
Yeah. You'll notice we maybe talked for 2.5 minutes total just to get that footage. They don't sit still. You'll find yourself now, actually, funny, having worked on this and do this, we sit and do things now, just watching how much we as adults want to squirm or move and are just uncomfortable by sitting in one place for a period of time. That's our mindset behind it. Thank you for the time you've given us today. Are there any questions we can answer before we sit back down?
Very interesting. We're going to be making committee and other appointments later in the meeting, but I'll jump ahead here and I'm going to appoint Mrs. Trout to be the board's official chair
tester.
Which one would you like to try, Mrs. Trout?
Well, that's all here. That would be
she's
not going to be a
chair.
She's probably the most comfortable. Right?
That's probably the
most
comfortable.
He doesn't have a lot.
You sign this insurance form?
If you want to take that and put that on your chair, you can. So the kids take that age, you'll put them on the floor, they put them on their chair themselves.
I have three of them around. Oh, they trap them to a table on the floor.
I'm afraid to get stuck in the egg.
You have to.
The wobble says you're fine.
Well, actually, doing this, you mind if I just make a comment? I'm just grateful as a person with my own attention deficit disorder. I'm just grateful that you're aware of this and bringing this.
I got a picture of her in that.
You know, I think it's more meeting students. Mr. Blevins has accommodated me personally by allowing me to remove one of my casters.
I just
think it's great
that I'll keep the focus.
She's doing it.
Oh, no. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're going to remove the new.
I'm just going to take it. Okay, let's move ahead with our meeting. Next up are the consent items. Mr. Fisher, are there any late-breaking changes to the personnel report? I should have pointed out, we're delaying the superintendent's report till the end of the meeting. My apologies.
Mr. Blevins, there is an addition to Section E, a change of status. And I'm pleased to recommend Dr. Wayne Senna, DAIS Community Principal in Yellow Wing, to serve as the interim DAIS principal for the remainder of the 2019-20 school year. If approved, Dr. Senna will begin these duties January 1st, at which time Dr. Pepler, who's currently the DAIS principal, will move into her new role as assistant superintendent. Dr. Senna has served Dallas Town Area School District in an array of K-12 leadership positions, and his talents have been on full display during his tenure. So we're excited to make the recommendation and know that DAIS will be in good hands under his leadership. So if approved, it's our intent to meet with DAIS staff tomorrow morning and provide a face-to-face update. And it also should be noted that the recommendation to place interim principal with DAIS was made based on feedback from various stakeholders. And we will continue to focus and develop a selection process for a permanent DAIS principal that will begin sometime in spring 2020.
Very good. Any questions about that or any of the other consent items? I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve the consent items as presented.
I'll second that. Motion and a second. Questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The consent items are approved. We have three action items this evening, the first of which is the proposed new courses for the high school. Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. Last meeting, I know Dr. Freed covered the 2021 proposed new courses. I see Mrs. Juniger in the audience. Appreciate her attendance. Unless there's any further questions, we'll ask for consideration and vote.
Any questions about the new textbooks that were presented at our last meeting?
I'd just like to make a comment on the new courses. I know there's a lot of excitement about these courses. I'm very grateful that these are going to be implemented, hopefully, with your vote. I've talked to a lot of students, the FBLA students, the business students. They are just ravenous for new business courses, especially in honors digital marketing. BSU is very excited for an African American literature course. And you have some excellent, passionate teachers who are more than willing to take on the challenge of starting a new course. So I hope that if you choose to pass this, this is a resounding affirmation of that decision.
Thank you. That insight is very valuable to us, so thank you for sharing that.
Move to approve action item 8A, the new courses for us.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes. Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. These new courses are approved. Thank you. Thanks for all your hard work and researching this and bringing them forward. Appreciate it. And now we our second action item of the evening is a proposal for professional services on the site survey of the secondary campus. Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Tonight we're seeking approval for the survey work for the secondary campus. Out of committee meeting last week, there was two questions I think that came out that we have answers to tonight that will hopefully keep the traction going with the approval on this. So. The first question was in regards to how long these reports will be valid. The topographical, along with the geotechnical borings, are really good forever, so their shelf life will be for as long as we need them at this point. The one report, the wetlands and the bog turtle report, they do have a 2-year life cycle on them, so if we would go outside that window, we would have to redo them, but they are the cheapest of the reports that they have. The second question that came up was related to the borings and why not do additional ones. We checked into the boring. The cost is $7,500. That's basically a day's worth of borings currently what they have. They rent the rig, so that takes care of that. So really to do additional borings, they would need to rent the rig for another additional day. At this point, we're not prepared for that. So my recommendation remains to continue as presented as the committee.
Any questions for Mr. Werbel?
I'll move to approve action item 8B, the Secretary of Campus Site Survey.
I'll second it.
A motion and a second. And any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item B is approved, and our final action item of the evening is the approval of job descriptions that Mr. Fisher previously reviewed with us in the HR meeting. Any further comments about that?
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. No, that's really it. We're seeking your approval on the list of attached job descriptions from the Information Technology Department. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I'll move to approve action item B C, the approval of the job description.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? I guess just to remind the public, this is part of an ongoing process that over the course of several months, all job descriptions in the district will be reviewed and updated.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, all in favor of approval of the job descriptions for the ID department, IT department, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, the job descriptions are approved. Mr. Rexroth, the student representative report.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. So the first thing of note is that Dallas Town Performing Arts Club and Dallas Town International Society will be hosting the annual school tier of the National Poetry Out Loud competition on Tuesday, December 17th at 7 p.m. in the large group room. The top three will receive gift cards, and the champion will advance to the regional competition in Gettysburg. All of you are more than welcome to attend, as well as anyone from the public. Minicon is having a community gift wrapping on Sunday, December 15th from 10 to 2. Gifts may be dropped off and wrapped. Gifts will be dropped off and wrapped when you come back to pick them up. Anyone who would want to drop off gifts during that day in the office, then they will have them wrapped by the end of the day. HealthStat is hosting the annual student blood drive next Thursday. The school goal is to donate 100 units of blood. The Gay Straight Alliance had a successful fundraiser at Mod Pizza on December 4th. These funds are used to pay club members to the annual summit at Dickinson College each year. Past attendees are now active in the LGBTQ advocacy at the state and local levels. Diversity Club is working on some signs for next week to share information on ways that holidays are celebrated throughout the world. Dallas Towns Interact Club is organizing a fundraiser through Rotary's Project Folio in late January, early February. They will be selling red scrunchies, and the money raised will support immunizations against the deadly disease in Africa and the Middle East. They will also be hosting guest speaker Rodial District 7390 Governor Pat Rooney at their meeting on December 18, 2019 at 2 p.m. in the theater room. FBLA will have their regional competition at York College on December 11th. 42 students qualified for the state competition, which is the most they have ever had in the history of the organization. Student Council, we collected over 160 items for the Caring and Sharing campaign. We are also participating in a fundraiser for Angie Mike, who is a student who at Red Lion currently, who had to have a heart transplant. He's 16. He is currently has extreme medical bills, and we're hoping that we can work with Red Lion to alleviate that financial burden on his family. We're also working to do our Welcome to Winter Day activities on the 20th, and that is what's going on. If you have any other questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Excellent. I really appreciate hearing the update from the students and your, but I think more importantly, I just wanted to make sure if you didn't hear our gratitude on your input on the class recommendation earlier, that's the kind of affirmation that's why you have it there. So I'm grateful that you brought that information to the table and I'll be afraid to speak up.
Thank you very much.
Do more of that if you would. Okay. Moving right along. Revised Transportation Report, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. We're almost halfway through the year now, and I think I feel like the transportation issues have settled down quite a bit. Although we still have some driver shortage challenges that we go through, I think we're doing quite well right now. So I'm going to turn this over to John Pauley.
Well, good evening, Dr. Dyer. Congratulations. Best wishes from all of us. Appreciate everything over the years. You can go to the next slide. Ladies and gentlemen. So here's where we are with 86 routes, 59 full-size buses, 23 vans, 4 wheelchairs. Not much of a change from the last year. We have 3 open routes right now. One, we terminated driver on a random drug test in Cushing, was positive, and 2 out on medical. We have 2 folks on our pipeline that have been through class for training behind the wheel, and we're in good shape van-wise. I think give you a bigger picture, we did take over Central York earlier this year, and that's been one of our bigger challenges, frankly, over the years. We probably run 17 drivers short every day there right now, and we really struggled to get that contract pulled. Not sure I had the right magic yet, and we're working on it every day. And there are days I commit, we probably felt some of that impact. Our staffing here has been pretty good this year relative to, say, last year. I think I stood here last year, that bus might have been 6 or 7 at one point, but we're like 15, 16, 17 at Central and Murray. Trying to figure out what's different up in that market. I'm not sure if it's the retail space or the big boxes up there that pull a lot more part-time and more of that type of labor out of the marketplace. So we're still trying to figure that one out, to be honest with you. So I apologize if that does feel, but we really try to keep it isolated as much as possible. Again, we have a full-time recruiter, we do our referral program, you've seen a lot of these things. We really work on the appreciation part. We've been really focused on this part with our drivers. We just handed out sweatshirts to some of our staff today, and I'll go through the next 2 weeks, with the reliance on it. And, again, we try to keep the equipment up to date. We've got dental and vision as an option for the drivers as a paid item for them. If they want it. So again, we're just trying to find those ways to pull people in. And it's a pretty tough labor market in general, and we're feeling the same thing as a lot of businesses out there. One of the things I wanted to share with you, so I tried this thinking it would help in the marketplace. So we always felt we paid well, but we had a couple buckets. We had a base pay, we had a safety pay, we had a attendance pay. And as we went out in the marketplace, I felt like we weren't getting credit for that. When you add all those up, it was actually pretty decent. But it did seem like we were getting a lot of traction. So earlier this year, I responded and said, we're going to scrap all of our incentive programs, roll right into their base pay. So a starting bus driver here at Ballastown, $17 an hour with no skills. That's where we are. That's 28-29% increase since I started this contract. And our van drivers, you know, we were, when I took this contract over, it was like $9 an hour for the prior contractor. You know, Sheets was paying $10 for kids walking off the street. So we moved there with a $12.50 to start. Again, not skilled. They go through our training program. So it's a 46% increase in labor since I took this contract over 4 years ago. So we're really trying to adapt to the market, and we'll start trying to figure out the pieces to that. We know we've got nice facilities, we've got nice equipment, lots of good training, we've got a good group of people. It's just we need that last 10% is what we're trying to reach for. So one of the new ideas we're talking about trying is 1 minute videos on why people drive. So if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're, you know, we have an interesting guy at Central. He was a stay-at-home dad his whole career and drove her to high school, and now we've hired him as a maintenance person. It's just a fascinating story, so we thought we'd bring him out as an example. We have truck drivers that just love to watch the kids play sports, so we're going to try to bring out 5 or 6 videos to see if we can get some people interested in the position and try to counter some of the noise you read in the newspaper and across the country with all the things that happen in busing. So. Again, trying to, any good ideas, pass them on to us. We'd like to try, but it's been a tougher year for sure. Not much here to report. We had one change. I think I talked to you back in the summer. We hired a compliance gal that was really very, very sharp, and it just didn't work for us. She's not with us anymore. We ended up hiring a second safety person, which again, I don't think we have enough people in our safety area. You know, this meeting minutes you get. Excuse me. So we have 2 people that full time. Just in safety. I'm really happy to report that I talked to you guys about Bill Yanovich, and you're doing that professional development with our full-time staff. We found a replacement. You know, Bill got hired by Kinsley, and we're really happy for him, and it was a real loss for us. And our team was really developing in their effective manager, which is, you know, achieving the results and retaining your people. We hired a gentleman by the name of John Dame. He's out of Lancaster area. He has been consulting for 20 years. We're pretty happy with him, but he's only been here, this will be his 2nd month. But it took us a few months to find him and get kind of the right personality. But again, my goal here is to work on the birds. I mean, I think as you guys have seen birds grow, that, you know, I'd love to take all the credit. The reality is it's not mine. You know, I think Bill did a lot of work with Bert, and, you know, we helped along the way, and Bert's in itself has really grown here. And I believe in this program very much for our folks, and it will reflect back on our service to you and to the students for sure. So if our managers do a good job with our drivers, hopefully we keep them in the seat. And that's the theory behind that. Accidents, it's been relatively quiet. We've had 6. 3 were our fault, 3 were not our fault. The 3 that were our fault were a left-hand turn down here at Yo Hill. One was a broken mirror, and one was we pulled out in front of somebody, but they were relatively minor. The 3 at no fault were not that big a deal. I think 2 were deer, and 1 was person hit us from behind. But again, very minor at this point. So no injuries, no reportables. Again, to remind you, reportable, the vehicle has to get towed. Somebody goes to the hospital, or there's a fatality. So 0, which is where we want to be on those. Any questions? Kind of short and sweet tonight. I know you have a big agenda, so.
I just want to say thank you. Every year I come down, Dr. Bell will be carrying on this tradition that I talk to your drivers and I impress upon them they're really the angels in the school district. You know, what they say to the child in the morning and what they say at night when the child gets off, it's more power than any of us have during the school day. And that's the stuff that students remember. So with all the business things that you have to juggle, you know, tell your drivers that we value that most of all. There isn't a day that I go by that I don't see a bus picking up students, or even out here in the secondary, looking at them with smiles. They wave to me, and some of them may not even know who I am. They're just friendly people. That means a lot to us. I also want to say I've always appreciated the professionalism that you have brought to your work. When I knew you in the beginning, when you had Reliance before, when you brought it back, you have the highest integrity. And as a superintendent who contracts your services, that means a lot to us and to this board, that the integrity that you bring. And that's displayed in your discussion tonight. The kinds of things that you brought out resonate with the board. That yes, you're a businessman, yes, you're looking, yes, you're providing a service. But embedded in all of that is that you're building people. And yes, we have seen the difference in people also. So it's my final opportunity, I guess, to just say thank you. It's been a wonderful professional relationship. And keep up the work.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. Any questions or comments? I just have a quick comment. I told the story a few months back. It seems good to tell again since you're here. I had a PTO meeting a few months back, and one of the drivers was there as a parent, and was talking about a situation where a car passed a bus. And I just want to remind you, you know, you mentioned you read the stories, and I'm glad to see you putting such an emphasis on safety, because we read the stories, and it's inexcusable the way drivers are out there. I know you're doing all you can, but if anybody's listening, don't pass the bus. We're crying out loud, sorry. So, thank you.
Yeah, and that's a two-way street. I also report this from the drivers is that you know, there is a lot of traffic on our roads. Perhaps our roads aren't built to the same level they should be with the traffic we have today. But also, we're responsible to make sure we take control of the roadway. That means you don't sort of come up, throw your door open, the reds come on, and the person doesn't want to know where you're going to stop. So you need to take control of the roadway. We talk about that a lot. So it's a two-way street. People don't want to pass a bus in general, I can tell you that. So, but it does happen. The good news is there's usually not a student outside the bus. They're usually still inside. So we can take it from there.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Mr. Gunsel's favorite time of year, the calendar at a glance, Dr. Cox.
Shall we start with Columbus Day this year? Yeah, we are pleased to present the 2021 calendar at a glance. The calendar has already been vetted, just by way of background, with our leadership team, our DAEA leadership, various teachers throughout the school district, as well as the council of PTOs. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank our principals, give a lot of thought, a lot of discussion, certainly the leadership of DAEA, especially Mrs. Jennifer Rogers, as well as Mrs. Gloria Hartman for her coordination and preparation of the calendar. By just way of quick background for the highlights, there are 180 student school days, and the calendar does meet the expectations as set forth by the Department of Education, as well as our local DAEA agreement. In essence, the calendar has a start of August 27th, with ninth grade students starting on the 26th, and that will run through June 8th. Probably the biggest notice you will see with the calendar is that we're starting a week later compared to previous calendars, and that's due to the great things that are going on at Loganville Springfield Elementary School and to maximize our time this coming summer. We do maintain K through 12 consistency, and we have made that switch with the trimester, day six schedule, as well as just some great financial consistency when it comes to the early dismissal. That really saves us in speaking to transportation, right around $55,000 a year by having early dismissal the line at both the elementary and the secondary level. In regard to inclement weather schedule, we have limited to 2 days this coming school year with that recommendation based on feedback from our council's PTO. And at this time, we'll really just open it up to see if you have any specific questions. You'll have a chance to float this with your family members over the holiday break, and we will have hopefully an official vote take place January 16th. Any questions at this time?
I'm just curious why did you drop down to two makeup days?
The way the third makeup day was wrapped at the Easter break, and there was just concern from parents with having some stability with that specific time. So I think I know you bring that up consistently, it's the great debate we've had over the years, consistency. Having days off versus unknowns and changing schedules. So we can drop that.
Okay, thank you.
Can you elaborate just a little bit more on the calendar development process?
Sure.
And what
constituencies are represented in the process.
You bet. And in this specific year, we ultimately work to develop a calendar, and so you start with draft one, and this really, just to give you a sense, is about draft 13 at this point in time. We work with our leadership team extensively to gather their feedback to make sure that there's an alignment, and from there then we work with the DAEA leadership team and ultimately make sure that we're aligned with Pennsylvania Department of Education standards and more importantly the standards of the contract. Additionally, they provide feedback as many groups we meet with. We then take it back to the leadership team for their consideration. And then once we have some normalcy and consistency of where we want to go, at that point we take it to our council of PTOs, and then they provide feedback. And ultimately then we make some additional shifts based on that feedback and take it back again, once again, to the leadership team. And then from the leadership team, we present 13 versions, and then we present that to UNC.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. The proposed board meeting dates?
Yes, and certainly on the issue of time, we appreciate the board's time continually to give. In that spirit, we present this evening proposed board committee and business meeting dates for September 2020 through 2021. What you're going to notice as we jump into the new year 2020, there will be an increased focus on various district-wide capital projects, as well as planning focused on future growth strategies. So with that end, you will notice that the board committee meetings for the upcoming school year, making a recommendation to hold it throughout the various schools. It's our hope that these floating locations for committee meetings only will allow greater community access, but also an opportunity for our board members to more intimately get to know the buildings. So the meeting date will serve as an action item during the January board meeting. In the meantime, if you have any specific questions or comments, you'd be welcome as we have that discussion.
So I guess the concept with the floating or the rotating committee meetings would be that those school board members who are interested would show up early, and there would be a tour of the facility, and followed by the regular committee meeting.
Correct. And we'll try to align some of what we've discussed from a capital project standpoint. We'll try to align that as well to the board, but that will be the intent.
And I'd just like to raise my hand. We're using some all Thursdays for normal cycles, so we know we have conflicts with authority and ATTAC and also JOC. I'd like to reserve time to make sure we're coordinating schedules there to keep them available as well.
Are you seeing some automatic conflicts, or?
I don't know. I don't think they've posted, so I think the current thought was each district was going to share with them the proposed schedule. It's a chicken egg thing.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that before we vote this, that we at least acknowledge the conflict and we can see how alternates might be converted or not with the attendance of the president.
Thank you. And just to confirm, are we the chicken or the egg?
We are definitely the chicken.
Any questions about the board meeting schedule? Okay. I had the opportunity to speak with each of you since our reorganization meeting last week, and review with you the committee structure. I also emailed them out to you. So are there any questions or comments about the proposed committee structures and assignments and appointments? I'd like to thank you all for your flexibility and cooperation. It's kind of a jigsaw puzzle to spread things around equitably, so I appreciate your cooperation. Okay. Thank you.
The next information is a combined report on the first part, Mr. Hart, and the second, on the building and capital projects committee meeting that was immediately followed by the finance committee. And there's a combined minutes in your board packet. The buildings and capital projects committee basically tackled two items. One, which we just voted on a few moments ago, relative to the site work testing on the secondary campus. And the other one was an update on the Loganville Springfield project, which continues to go very well. And we're very pleased with the progress, not only on the construction pace, but also on the budgetary aspects of the project. So congratulations to everyone that has had a hand in that. And Mr. Hartman, you want to talk about finance?
Sure, no problem. Mr. Glovin's mentioned the finance meeting directly followed. The majority of the conversation last week was about new positions being proposed for next year, as well as possibly taking over some of the LIU positions for a few classrooms, and some of the rationale behind that at a high level, and we're going to have a chance to talk about that in the future, I'm sure. Also got a little bit about some of the costs for next year, and also some of the potential savings by taking some of those programs back. And moving into talking about the payment plan for the NRG controls. And finally, we had a short discussion about selecting a new auditor. And it's been finance committee, we've been kicking back and forth with policy, whether we want to get a new auditor this year and when. And it's kind of board recommendation, or the committee's recommendation, that with everything else that's going on with the new superintendent and various other projects, this probably isn't the time to change auditors, but we're going to look at in the future. And also recommend that maybe the auditors bring a different team this year that can start jobs. Not that there's anything we're concerned about, but it's always good to get fresh air. Next meeting, we're going to do our first go into the budget, so you're probably going to want to do the strategy to make it. Thank you.
Any questions about the buildings and capital projects or the finance? Moving right along, the LIU Board of Report, Mrs. Houston.
Actually, I think
you
have
I skipped Mr. Benson, not on purpose.
Sure, that's all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have four attachments. I'm just going to go over a couple highlights. Recently, the Program for International Student Assessment 2018 results came out. And I think this is global. I think the U.S. students came up a little bit in reading and literacy. I think their math and science were a little bit down. But the thing that I found interesting, they had some educational myths. And the one, I'm just going to read the one. The myth is educational quality and personalization is all about class size. But the truth of the matter is the highest performing education systems prioritize the quality of teachers over size of classes. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then the next thing, the PSBA came out with the State of the Education Report. And I just have a couple of the statistics, and I think they take a survey of from the chief school administrators. I know we were recently voted on the what we're going to do our Act One Index, and here's how it breaks down: 12.1% aren't going to have any increase, and 30.5% are going to be below the district Act One Index. 47.9% are going to go to the index, and then 9.5% are going to be above. And then fund balance, I know we were just discussing suburban, rural, and some of the other suburban districts, but the fund balance for the rural districts, which is supposed to be 5 to 10% of expenditures, rural was the highest at 9.3. And I know we were talking because,
as you do.
Yep. So, and then Here's a nice little fun fact. 2010-2011 year and the 2016-17 year, from those years, the pension cost increased 418.6%. And then I had one of the other articles. I know we were talking about this the other day. For the 2021, the contribution rate for PCRs for the employer was set at 34.51, and it kind of made a big deal that it was better than the projected of 34.77. That's the best they could do. They had to make a big deal about that. And then of the biggest challenges under security, 79% of the school districts are worried about meeting the needs of the health needs of the students, the mental health needs of the students. So that's, I know we talked about that many nights at our board meetings and our committee meetings. And then the last thing was, one article has state legislators had a three-month committee meeting on ad hoc group about elimination of the property tax. They came up with five options. To be honest with you, I doubt whoever did any option. But option five was the one several years ago. It was a tie vote, and the assistant governor broke the tie. So that went down in flames. That's about the closest we ever got. But I'm not sure we'll ever see that. And there's a lot more information on all those things, but that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Bensel. Any questions or comments? Now we'll go to the LIU board report.
Thank you. I'll make it pretty short and sweet. The Don's early light is up there, so you guys can look at that whenever you get a chance. We did get a preliminary look at the budget for the general fund, which, if I remind you guys, that this is the smallest amount of money. It's the only one we have control over. But good news is it decreased by $157,000. So our annual contribution is reduced by $11,311. So
good work.
It's a good thing. It should be, I don't know if you guys have seen a copy of it yet. I know it's going to be sent out. No, it hasn't. Okay. So it'll be sent out to you guys, and then and we'll be finalizing.
That's it. Any questions for Mrs. Houston? Please.
We received and discussed in senior staff the business rules that have been worked on by the Special Education Task Force, and we're reviewing them and we'll provide input. So we appreciate that the LAU board has been responsive, as well as the executive board up there.
And do you want to move right along to the LIU Joint Authority?
I sure can. Again, short and sweet. We did have, the main thing was we looked at, we reviewed the audit, which, by the way, I wish our audit was as small as this one. It's like 10 pages. Nice, easy one. It was a clean audit report, so everything was good. One thing notable is the, if you guys aren't familiar, the way that the payment works for the debt of the building, the LIU pays the joint authority a rent of over $400,000 a year. But that mortgage will be paid off in 2024, and that building will be free and clear. So that will be nice. That will help in reducing our costs of sending students at the York Learning Center.
Good. Who owns the building
now? The joint authority owns it because the LIU cannot.
Okay.
I don't understand the whole gist of it, but yes, the joint authority owns it. The LIU pays us for it. Any other questions?
Very good. You want to move right into the York Adams Academy report?
I sure can. I was unable to attend that meeting because that coincided with our LIU meeting. But I do want to just speak real briefly. We did attend, we had graduation on Tuesday. Dr. Geyer, Mr. Wingard, and myself all attended. Thank you, gentlemen, for attending with me. I appreciate that. There is a very small class. There was only 37 students who graduated for the winter session. We had one student from Dallastown graduate. And what was really nice is those staff, the teachers from the York Agnes Academy, offers scholarships to the students for post-secondary work. And one of the recipients was our Dallastown student. So she received a scholarship. There was two of them offered. That's it.
Any questions?
A question, a comment. Okay. First of all, thank you, Ms. Easton, for inviting me. And it's nice to have such a great organization in place for Second Chances. The student speeches, I thought, were very moving. I think everybody should attend that at some point in time. It's to see that there is a safety net there for most kids there. They need a second player. Ms. Easton said sometimes fourth or fifth chance. So it's a great organization. It's very good. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for taking the time to attend that. York County School of Technology, Mr. Lightwell.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. In the interest of time, we'll see the minutes are attached. It was pretty straightforward. The main thing that was enacted in the past was the sending the budget to the districts. So if you don't mind, I'll go on to the next item.
Please do.
It was sent out for a ratification from each of the districts. I will be supporting it. I wanted to make sure I do point out that if you look at, I don't want to fall into the trap of looking at the percentage increase, because the main increase, if they did do a flat budget, the discretionary spending, if you take away the labor contracts and benefits that are paid, the other thing that they added back was they used to always take, they're part of Lincoln Trust. They always paid 11 months premium. They always took the 12-month holiday. And that was always a savings as opposed to collecting the money. What they're trying to do, they had similar experience as us, where their pool and allowance that's being held at the trust is lowering. So between that and also, they wanted to true up the budget from an insurance standpoint, so that if they wanted to look at other options, they're looking at an annualized premium expense. So that funding holiday will be there, which then increases our budget, which then puts our percentage out of whack, if that makes things correct in here. So it's truing things up. And this is the right year to do it. What I was getting at, your discretionary spending only is increasing by $10,000 from a year to year for standpoint. At least that's what they're sharing with us, and they have a pretty good track record. Bottom line is all of their money is ours. So if we pay them, it comes back with their results. So it's really just a matter of where the money's in the bucket. As I said, I believe this will be an action item in January.
Thank you. Is there an opportunity for feedback from the superintendents?
This was because of the percentage gain and the perceptions that were out there. This was actually vetted beyond the cycle. It was actually vetted to the superintendents early.
Okay.
They always was sensitive. They wanted the JOC to see it first. So the superintendents actually saw a preview. It came to the JOC. It then went back to the superintendents the second time. And there hasn't been any major upheaval or questioning from the superintendent, as I understand it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Any other questions? Comments? Okay. Moving on to calendar of board events, is attached. We have buildings and capital projects immediately followed by the finance committee meeting at 6 o'clock on Thursday, January 9th. We have the HR committee meeting that is closed to the public at 8 p.m. And on Thursday, January 16th, we have regular monthly board meeting at 7:30, and on January 22nd, we'll have an all-day board workshop slash retreat. Back at it right after the holidays. Conference requests are attached for your review. And now we come to a very important part of this evening's activities, and that is the honoring of our departing and retiring superintendent, Dr. Dyer. And I'll start out making some comments that I have prepared, and then what we'll do is go around and I'll give everybody at the table an opportunity to say anything they so desire. And then we'll turn it over to Dr. Dyer to make any comments. Then we'll have a brief presentation at the very end. So if that's okay with everyone, we'll get started. I'm going to read some of this because it's rather lengthy, but you're deserving of the length. Okay. Originally from the Pittsburgh area, Dr. Dyer attended Slippery Rock University and graduated with a BS in education. He has a master's degree and a doctorate degree from Virginia Tech. A small accomplishment. The first 30 years of his educational career were spent in Loudoun County Public Schools in Virginia. And he taught various elementary grades. He held three different principalships. And from conversation, I know that some of those were turnaround situations, troubled schools, and was very successful in that. And then he became director of elementary education for the entire county. And he became known for his expertise in curriculum development, but first he built a school, actually a dozen, He supervised the opening of 12 new elementary schools in this rapidly growing suburb of D.C. So, Loganville Springs, so it should be a piece of cake. He restructured the summer learning opportunities for target populations. He phased in a major foreign language in the elementary schools initiative. And he also served as an adjunct professor at Northern Virginia Community College and other local universities. Then in 2005, it was our good fortune that he was hired as Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Instruction here at Dallas County. And he served in that role for 7 years. In 2012, he was rather suddenly named Acting Superintendent, and then in a few months, Superintendent. And he took over our district in a very unsettled time. He very quickly calmed the waters, created a culture of dignity, professionalism, and mutual respect. For that, we will be eternally grateful. Some of the more, and I'm not going to get nearly all of these, but some of the more notable accomplishments while here at Dallas Town include the following. He completely overhauled and expanded the professional development of the school. He led the complete redesign and restructuring of K-8 education, which led to the opening of the Dallas Town Intermediate School, new configurations in the elementary and middle schools, and implementation of full-day kindergarten across the district. He led the charge on the complete overhaul of our curriculum development infrastructure and processes. He worked with teachers and administrators to develop the BASD guided teaching, which became the model for teaching. He led program enhancements to ELL and gifted education. He added literacy and math coaches. He conceived and developed the DASD Cyber Academy and the alternative Twilight program, which became Stride. This is a question. He also has been a very responsible and effective in his financial oversight of the district. In spite of rapidly rising health care and retirement costs,
And in spite of very costly unfunded mandates and regulations, and growing student population, and pressing facilities and maintenance costs, and in spite of rapid increases in special education and social programs, and increased staffing and program needs, he only proposed two very minor tax increases. Once we were known, not too many years ago, for being the highest tax rate in the county, except of course for the city. Now we're kind of in the middle of the pack. And he accomplished all that without upholstering taxes, and that was very effective financial oversight. He embarked on a number of building and maintenance projects, implemented sensible and effective enhancements to school safety, led the charge for the design and approval of the exciting renovations and additions at Hoganville Springfield, which were right in the midst of, and in so doing, creatively managed the financing of that project so that our annual debt service did not increase as a result of the borrowing we did for that project. He very effectively enhanced communications in school and community relations. He implemented significant technology upgrades, including our one-to-one initiative. He was the driving force behind our secondary redesign that resulted in our leading edge trimester scheduling, student access to multiple pathways to a wide variety of post-secondary options and experiences, emphasis on 21st learning, 21st century skills, increased use of relevant technology and collaborative skills, and other facets of redesign. He hired great teachers. He surrounded himself with excellent administrators in whose capable hands he now leads the district. And he put up with a demanding school board that I'm sure should be very frustrating. And the list could go on, and we are certainly proud of your accomplishments, and Dr. Dyer, you should be proud of them as well. Okay, but more important than any of those accomplishments were who you are as a leader. Okay. You set very high expectations, but always try to be fair. Your devotion and commitment of time and energy to your job was unparalleled. You are a servant leader who puts the needs of others ahead of your own. And very importantly, you are a man of deep faith. And that is the compass that we use to guide our district. I have the deepest respect for you, and it's truly been a blessing to be able to work so closely with you for the past several years. And the void that your absence will create in my life will be filled by the knowledge that you'll always be my friend. Thank you. With that, why don't we start with Mr. Retschloff? Would you like to offer a student's perspective?
Yeah, I will certainly miss the 5 a.m. phone calls of you trying but in all seriousness, it is surreal that time has come to the end. Throughout my educational career, you've always been in upper administration. And the most notable thing about your leadership as superintendent from a student perspective is just how visible, how present, and how accessible you have been, whether it's sitting and eating lunch in the cafeteria, walking the halls, talking to students, attending various events, and really just reaching out to individual students and congratulating them when they've done something that is worthy of a congratulation. Your impact on the school, and most importantly, the students, it can't be understated. On a personal note, you are someone that I hope to emulate in the future, because as Mr. Blevins said, all of those character traits are true, and those are just something that I can hope I can obtain someday.
So on behalf of all the students of Dallas Town, whether it's past, present, and those who will be affected by your policies in the future, thank you for your love of students, your love of education, and all that you have done for the school district.
Why don't we work down the table, then we'll wind up with the senior staff at the table.
Thank you. I don't know if I can top that one. But first of all, I did leave that envelope for you, so later sometime, open it up and look at it, and it will remind you of how you impacted some of the students this year. So please take that time. And I wanted to take a little different spin. I know how you're concerned about how somber this is going to be tonight. So I'm going to give you a different perspective. So when I was a new board member, you helped me learn about the culture of Dallas Town and how to navigate the education field. So in return, I'd like to return the favor by giving you some words of wisdom if you decide to move to Illinois. First of all, that I pronounced it Illinois, not Illinois, as I always hear around here. Also, get used to saying pop again instead of soda. Second, regarding certain Chicago classic foods, you'll need to find a place for pizza. Now, I prefer Little Mama's, which I'm going to have to spell because my daughter says everyone in Illinois pronounces it weird. So it's LOUMALNATIS. But again, in Illinois, you pronounce it Little Mama's. Just run it all together. I prefer thin crust. But Lumonati's does make a really good deep dish pizza. But if you get the thin crust, you have to know that the only correct way to slice a thin crust pizza is in squares, not pizza pie shape. There's a reason for that. Another Chicago classic is a Chicago hot dog. And Bill and Mr. Blevins, you guys both know what these are and how good these are. But to get a true Chicago hot dog, it is a beef frankfurter on a poppy seed bun, chopped with yellow mustard, chopped white onions, bright green sweet pickle relish, a dill pickle skewer, tomato slices, pickled sport peppers, and a little bit of celery salt. When you order it, never ask for ketchup. If you do, it's very frowned upon, and you may get some nasty looks or possibly a nasty comment. My last piece of advice regarding classic foods is one of my favorite chocolates. And I know you're allergic to chocolate, but this is for your wife. One of those times you know, a special gift to her. Franco mints are the best mints in Chicago. They are now sold by Macy's, which I found out when I was in New York. They carry it in New York. I was really kind of shocked by that. Macy's originally bought out the original store that sold it, Marshall Fields, but now they sell this, the Franco mint, Macy's does, and they are the best mints. So if you ever need to give your wife something very special, that's where you go. Now regarding sports, as you may be living close to Wisconsin, you might consider being a Packers fan. But if you do, please do not wear a cheese head. And if you become a Bears fan, make sure you say the Bears.
The Bears.
And if you want to choose a baseball team, you can either pick the Cubbies or White Sox. You cannot be a fan of both. It is only one or the other, no matter how they perform during the season. So I hope this helps you navigate the culture of Chicago and its suburbs. And enjoy your time supporting your grandchildren.
Thank you. Good advice.
Pretty well done. Mr. Wingard.
Dr. Dyer, I have a, first of all, there's a letter in that card that I gave you, great job. I've had the unique opportunity to see you through two lenses. Having worked with a teacher in the district for 12 years as your subordinate, and now with the board that you lost. But as a fellow man of faith, I just like the way that you have over the years, since you took over the school district, have weighed the heavy decisions that you've had to make and looked at the stakeholders from every end and made decisions that have truly moved this district from uncomfortable to a place that wants all of I miss you. Congratulations. And welcome to
Thank you. I'm sorry. I have a few things to jot down, but Mr. Rakoff,
felt something happened, felt interesting this afternoon, making supper, and my son comes home, and those of you that have, maybe girls act this way too, I don't know, but when sons come home from school, they don't really say a whole lot. They're saying that eventually it's not possible. So my son comes in and said, well, how was your day? Not pretty good. Dr. Dyer survived me. So, apparently that's how they of all things that were said, and tonight I could echo a thousand times, but a couple things that I'd like to say about Dr. Dyer is, you know him, and of course I got to know him, is he's an educator and he has the heart of a teacher. And over the past few years, especially, I've worked pretty close with Dr. Dyer. I got to see him operate in this way. I've been with him on a couple of very tough situations. And Dr. Dyer never stops looking for a better way to do something. And he's always mindful of how he can help a person or group understand something better. He's constantly looking for a new way to teach a concept. When we're in a room, we can't get something, out come the whiteboards and post-it notes. And, you know, whether it be he's dealing with a group of parents and he's trying to help them understand the district better and why we do things, or explaining to taxpayers why we're striving to be good stewards of their resources, or if he's helping a staff member look at something from a different angle. And finally, I'd like to publicly thank Dr. Dyer for everything he's done for me personally in the past several years. And that is, you know, you can be tough, but still have a lot of passion. You can make hard decisions with dignity, and you always treat people with respect and honor. Thank you. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. Mr. Reynolds.
All right. This one's going to, I got to start with an apology. And the first one's going to be, I'm not going to look at you at all because I want to get through this. The second one is, I have to apologize for my threats because we've had a lot of comings and goings here recently with Mr. Jones, Mr. Noel, and we've had some new comings. And it's not like we were surprised by Dr. Dyer leaving, and I had time to prepare this thing. But you gotta remember where we were 8 years ago, and when I was on that side of the auditorium, and I was one of those angry taxpayer people, absolutely confounded, could not understand where this district was going and the burden that was being put and the pressures of the family. And unfortunately, Dr. Dyer got some of that. He didn't get it from me because I knew where the focus needed to be. And we came from a really difficult place, and it was just angry and upsetting. And you proved to us that you were your own person and we could trust you, that you weren't just the team player carrying from a predecessor. You were your own person with character. And the one thing, yeah, we had a great list, and I appreciate Mr. Blevins' list, but we expect that at Dallas County. We expect success. We want those achievements. 8 years of tenure, I mean, that's expected. So I'm grateful for it. But the one thing that I'm more emotional, as you can tell, what you brought back was respect. What you brought back is integrity. And I really wanted to sit here in a suit, and I really wanted to have the time on. It's not my personality, but it's who Dr. Dyer is. For 8 years, we have been Mr., we have been Ms., we have been respectful. It has just been so much integrity. We have found our lanes. You have poised us. I'm so excited with our new members. I am so excited we're all doing our lanes, where we're going to finally be able to talk and be reasonable and have, it just brings back respect, and I just wanted to have that. Today got away from me. I mean, it was family stuff, and we're all busy. It's Christmas. Backstory, and this is where I'm frustrated because I didn't get to prepare for this day and respect you and give back to you what you gave to us. And it was just frustrating, and my day was just going and going. And now I'm having a dire moment. And it's backstory. I have a standing commitment to meet with my dad who's in a home. It's usually Thursday during the day. Today was a Christmas party. He asked the host, he wants to entertain, and he wanted to host, so he asked Sharon and I to come for dinner. Pushed back the schedule, no executive session. That's great. I got time. He also had asked me, when you're rooting around the closet putting out your decorations, if you ever find the family Bible, bring it to me. And I'm thinking, oh my God. I don't have enough time for all this. And how am I going to do this? And I had my God moment. I'm literally sitting there with my Bible, 1863. It's his grandfather's Bible. He's sitting, my dad is wound up, he's days between dialysis, Thursday, that's why I go there Thursday, this is the day between, he actually has his energy. He is wound up, and he's seeing his grandfather, his pop's Bible. And he's talking about the legacy. His pop was a factory worker at S. Morgan Smith, Alice Chalmers, Boy Tiger, wherever you want to go. His father used that example to become an office boy and had a 50-year career at Alice Chalmers. My dad used to go to this shop, see his grandfather, see his dad. That's where my dad said, I want to be an engineer. So, what does it say? This is my dire moment. It's Bible, it's pathways, and it's pop. I have my speech. And I hope you have time to be the pop.
Well said, Mr. Bethel.
Back when I was a greenhorn, first greenhorn, you were super welcoming. You tried to get everybody on board. You did a great job making sure we hit the ground running. I really enjoyed that. It was a lot easier getting onto the board and up to speed. Now, I know I did have my bad moments, and you were really patient with me because I tend to get a little colorful at times. So you were always really patient with me there. And the other thing I really enjoyed when you did the meeting with the administrators and part of the book study and stuff, that's the kind of stuff that I'll always remember about you. And I really had a lot of fun doing that. And just I hope you have a great time with your grandkids and your children involved and all that stuff. So that's what retirement's all about. We kind of catch up.
Hi. So you came on as superintendent really when I was probably my oldest son kind of, you know, getting into middle school in the thick of things. So I was one of those parents that sat in those huge school board meetings and like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So being very freaked out at the time, which is why I started to get involved in that, and because my boys don't tell me anything, so this is how I would learn my time. But when you came on, you were really a very calming force. You're level-headed, you're fair-minded, you're intentional, you're sincere, you're caring, you're principled, you're faithful. You're respectful, and you're approachable, which is really a main reason why I pursued this position. It's very easy to talk to you, to seek you out with questions, a lot of stupid questions. I mean, you know, I'm just a mom, I don't know a whole lot of things, but I really appreciate it. If it weren't for your personality, I don't know, you're very patient with me, you answer my questions, I don't know that I would actually have made it to this situation if it weren't for you and your personality. So I thank you very much for that. I also want to say that during this transition, you've been an absolute class act. I kind of feel like the school district might be your third born, and I understand how dear it is to you, and you've really been letting go of it as a process beautifully. I mean, I've seen other situations, and I've worked with other people who have a business or have an organization, and they get sour grapes, they get fussy, they get tantrumy, I mean, literally, and you've just been so graceful about it. I just really want to acknowledge that and thank you very much, and thank you for everything you've done for our district, for my children, for me, for our community. I really appreciate it, and best wishes, soak up those grandkids, because it goes fast. Thank you.
Of course I'm new, so I haven't had a lot of time with you, but you've taken every need I've asked for. You've given me your time. Your perspective has helped me tremendously, and your encouragement. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Let's go down to the other end. Mr. Fisher?
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of my comments for tomorrow night is just some special comments. Except to say I obviously concur with everything that's been said about Dr. Thayer, a class act, very professional, and brings a lot of dignity to the role. It's been a pleasure to work with you. It really has. Even the days in the bullpen, which are sometimes very interesting. But it's obvious you're leaving the district in a much better place. And a great place to be back. We talk about that a lot. So we wish you the best in your retirement and enjoy the grandkids.
Mr. Verhoeven.
Dr. Dyer, you brought me here 2.5 years ago, and I truly can't appreciate, what that meant to me. You've always had what's best for kids in mind, and I think that's a highlight and a hallmark to you and your ethics, your dedication to a place. It's not just Dallas Tech, it's always on call. You take this in the most high regard of anyone. So again, there's some more comments tomorrow. So thank you, congratulations.
Dr. Donald.
I will say what I'm allowed to say in a public forum.
I call for an executive session.
15 years ago in February, I started here in the district. And I remember my first meeting with Ron, Dr. Dyer, at Yorksburg Middle School. I remember it was just all kinds of process of going through the position, the site visit, the day before. And it almost seemed like the group wasn't interested in me. They kind of almost knew they wanted to have me in Dallastown. So I remember just walking down the hall giving a tour and thinking, is this a good fit for me? And that's right when I looked to my right and there you were. You were the only one in that group that really demonstrated great interest, compassion, and more importantly, it wasn't just about me as an educator, me as a person. I knew from that day you're a man who got it, and who understood it, and you're someone that I could respect. I left that district thinking I had the mentor of my career, and little did I know 15 years ago I found a person who has been by my side and has helped me grow as a professional, and more importantly, as an individual. I look back at what I was when I came here in the district. I thought I knew what I needed to know. I didn't know anything, and still I started working with you. You're a man that drove me nuts on a daily basis in the first couple years, because your passion, your commitment, your ideation, but boy, with me in the shape and with this district in the shape. And it has been a tremendous, tremendous ride working alongside you. The transition has been superb, and I just sat with the superintendent this morning, asking about it. And what I'm consistently hearing from Mrs. Kraus' comment, I don't know how I could do that. I look at myself in the mirror, I don't know how you could be as patient and caring and living with that gradual release of the power and responsibility. And it's been a tremendous 6 months working alongside you. And I wish we had 6 months more, because I really miss you. And my career success is really based on what you provided me and also Saturday. And even though I have much larger shoes than you, I know it's going to take a lot of courage. And I do thank you, and we'll have some more time together. But publicly, thank you for everything you've provided. You've been a great individual, a great person, certainly a great boss, mentor, but one more than a great friend.
I think maybe our solicitor might want to say a few words, Mr. Sultanic.
Well, solicitors are not usually known for a few words, but I don't know. The sign of a good leader is one who has honesty and integrity, inspires others, commitment and passion, good communication, decision-making capabilities, accountability, delegation and empowerment, and creativity and innovation. All of those qualities apply to Ron, and I have to say that in my short tenure as solicitor, but having worked with the district in the past, I believe the district will be losing many, many, many of those qualities in Ron's departure. The only grace is that because of his leadership abilities, he leaves a legacy of leadership and training and individuals who can carry the district into the next decade. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you. Dr. Dyer.
I'm really overwhelmed and been trying all day, even days before that I've got to be even strong. So it's been wonderful tributes. I very much have poured my heart into you, each of you. These folks out here are an incredible team, to the parents who support us, the teachers. And it's just, I appreciate all the words. It means so much to me. I don't even know where to start. And each of you put so much time in it, Mr. Levins, what you did, the research you did, thank you. And everybody else, certainly Josh, my trusted assistant, and who works with me probably closer than anybody. And I'm a senior staff member, and it's true. I look at senior staff as being the bullpen, and we question each other, we push each other, and I keep saying, you know, you only have one time to get out of the gate, it's got to be right, you can't go back and change decisions, you got to be right the first time. I can be pretty intense, and not everybody sees that, but they see it a lot. And I believe that kind of thing helps to make the district great. And Josh has just been there with me for all of that. So I identified 15 years ago that you had it. And you can't describe it until you see it. And when you have it, you just know that person has the capabilities to take the district. And as a little bit older guy who got into the superintendency, I wanted to make sure that I had somebody there who could take over should something occur, and always have to be trusting you. So I have just a few remarks, if I may, and I'll do my very best. I wish I could personalize them more, but these are just some things I want to say from my position to my team, to my board, to my parents. As I retire later this month after 15 years in Dallas Town, first as assistant superintendent and the superintendent, as you know, I sincerely thank the entire Dallas Town community for this privilege afforded me. And the reason for these remarks is that I'm constantly reminded that a number of people listen to these transcripts, and I get stopped in the store and other places, and as you know, you've had people come in who have heard the transcripts, so I wanted to make sure I had some words to say to them. So that's part of what these remarks are about. During the time I've been here, I've worked with a truly outstanding group of educators, instructional and support staff, librarians, counselors, building and grounds crew, amazing, technology team, transportation providers, nutrition staff, and administrators. And we've been focused on one goal, and that's to make Dallas Town Area School District a relevant and meaningful educational experience for our students while preparing them for their futures. And we can't even imagine those futures. And recently, we had some business advisors in, and when you ask them, what should we be doing? They said, we don't even know what business is going to be like in the next 5 or 7 years. But we do know that we want them to be able to collaborate, to be part of the team, to be self-starters and initiators. And that's what we're guiding with redesigning some of those basic principles. So I thank you for your support, everybody here in this room, and those who are listening, others who are represented by you in this room, for all of that in providing a safe, challenging, and purposeful learning environment that truly inspires and creates pathways for student success. There is much about our work that is notable, and that I was part of it, however small, gives me the greatest of pleasures, and I'm extremely thankful for that. especially to this board of school directors who elected me 8 years ago for this position, and during my Dallas Town tenure here as superintendent, I appreciate your trust in me, your embracing of our vision, and your counsel. And although I'm stepping down, I'm not going to step away. Education has been my life, and I fully intend to keep abreast of all that's happening. I plan to continue to attend district fine arts presentations, theater, music, choral performances, athletic competitions, academic exhibitions, and of course, other special community events
such as the dedication of living this. As of January 1st, my dear friend and colleague, Joshua Dahl, will be taking over as your superintendent, and I'm fully confident that you will lead the district honorably and with great integrity to educate our children and help them grow. And then I come to a song that, midway in my career, made me pull off the road, and that's The Cat's in the Cradle. To my administrative friends, don't get so busy that you forget your family. And I had to make a mid-course correction because I forgot my family. And so, but I look forward to retirement. In many ways, it's going to help me to undo that song a little bit in my life and give me value time with my two children, my grandsons, and my wife for 42 years. So, I know I will miss you. I know I have some lonely days, you know, when we are together. But I want to thank you for being colleagues, for being friends, advisors, supporters, visionaries, and being all about the kids. God bless you, and bless you in the work to come. Thank
This is hard to read because of the hierarchy.
But on behalf of the school board, the district, and everyone in the room, we would like to present you with this plaque, which represents our appreciation for your dedicated service over the years. I'm not going to read it because just know how much we genuinely appreciate everything you've done for us.
This will be on Twitter.
That's Twitter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that probably covers us as far as board comments and correspondence. So we'll move to our final opportunity for public comment. If anyone would like to make a comment, please come forward and do so. Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.